Well, this is the last presentation, and thank you for sticking with me. I'll try to use the arrows instead of that touchpad, which fooled me up before. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture does certify soil and manure testing laboratories. We have about 30 laboratories that we certify for soil testing. Most of them are in the Midwest. We do have some that are out on both East Coast and West Coast. And we certify around 50 or 55 labs for manure testing. And when we have 70 labs in the manure analysis proficiency program, you can probably tell that's a little bit tougher for manure testing certification than for soil testing certification. I have to acknowledge both Grant and Bob for all the help they provided us. They actually give us the statistics for our soil certification program through the programs that they run on soil proficiency. I'll tell a little bit about our history, the methods that we use to evaluate laboratory performance. And then the certification is based on the three different proficiency programs, the ALP, NAPT soil programs, and the MAP proficiency manure program. So in 1989, as I mentioned earlier, the Minnesota legislature passed the statute 18C141, which gave us the authority to certify soil and manure testing labs. And originally, Manjula mentioned, is a lot of these states were kind of preparing their own proficiency samples, and it was not a very coordinated system. A lot of labs wanted to participate in several states. There was a lot of duplication. And so we got together, and as Manjula mentioned, Bob created and ran the NAPT program for a number of years to prepare the soil proficiency samples. So as I was saying, for soil testing, we use the NAPT and ALP proficiencies. And we encourage labs, we're happy to have them participate in both programs. And if a lab fails a test, say phosphorus in one program, but passes it in the other, we consider that a passing score. So we don't want to discourage labs from participating in a proficiency program. And then, as I mentioned, we use the MAP program for manure certification. So for soil testing certification, labs have to score at least 80% on three of the five following tests. So inorganic nitrogen, phosphorus, and the Minnesota labs can use Olson or Bray, and the out-state labs, so we allow to use Malik, but we'd like the Minnesota labs to use either Olson or Bray. And for potassium, we'd like the Minnesota labs to use ammonium acetate, but we allow the out-state labs to use Malik. For buffer pH, the Minnesota labs can use Socorro or SMP. Other states can use Woodruff or Adams. And then soil organic matter, just like Missouri, we can use LOI or Walkley Black. But they have to pass just three of the five and get a score of 80% on three of the five tests. So all the other tests are evaluated individually. And if you click on any one of these labs, you'll get taken to a site that has the contact information for the lab and the endorsements they have. Now, this lab was endorsed for six different tests. I believe this one has 23 or something like that. But I wouldn't be discouraged from using a lab that has just a few tests. Some of the labs just run a few tests. That's all they provide to their customers, and they do a very good job if they're certified. So I'll start by kind of, since the proficiency programs are all slightly different, I'll kind of describe how we use the results from the different proficiency programs. So in the NAPT, as Grant mentioned, there's four exchanges, but the last exchange comes too late in the year for us. So we use the previous year's exchange. So for example, for this year, if we were looking at certification in 2016, we used the fourth exchange in 2014 and the first three exchanges of 2015 for next year's certification. And as the other proficiency programs, we use the median and the median absolute deviation. And then the labs are flagged for accuracy if the results for a test exceeds more than plus or minus 2.5 MAD units from the median. And you've seen that pretty much, I think, in all the other ones. So then if a lab is not flagged, it earns 5 points, or if I want to be negative, it loses 5 points. But with 20 soil samples, a maximum score is 100, so it's real easy to do the math. A passing score is 80. They can't have more than four samples flagged for accuracy. The ALP is more similar to the MAP program because they have the three replicates, so that makes it just a little bit more complicated. We flag them for accuracy in the same manner as the NAPT program. They have to be within 2.5 MAD units of the median. And then for each test and sample without accuracy flag, they earn 5 points. But let's take a look at how we score the precision. So for each sample and test, the lab, we calculate the mean and the standard deviation of the three replicate results. So this would be just for one lab. If you remember the hash marks in that earlier presentation, we calculate the mean and standard deviation. Then we take the standard deviation and divide it by the mean, which is the coefficient of variation, and we designate that as RP on our reports. And then we calculate the median RP for that particular sample and test, and we designate that as the RD. And then a lab would be flagged for precision if their RP value exceeds three times the industry RD, that median RD value for it. So if they don't have a precision flag, they earn 3 points, or we deduct 3 points if they do have a flag. Now, do you know why they get 5 points for the accuracy or bias flag and only 3 points for the precision? I think it's because it's easier to, I don't want to say cheat, but I've always been concerned with precision that labs can kind of fudge it. And as Bob Florence mentioned, you had the lab that did, you know, like eight replicates, and I've heard the same story and all. And one thing we've done to kind of discourage that, and it's helped a little bit, I think, is that labs really struggle filling out the form for the proficiency program because it's different. It may be different units. Some labs are used to reporting percent moisture instead of total solids, and they mix that up. So we ask them to also send a client report. And if they send a client report and we can tell on the client report that they made a mistake filling out the official proficiency report, then we can adjust it based on their client report. But if they have 8 or 10 client reports, then it's hard to get that data sorted out. So I'm hoping by using the client reports, we won't flag them for, you know, basically clerical errors, and also encourage them to just run the replicate once rather than a bunch of times. So there's 15 soils in the ELP program. They send out 3 annual exchanges, and it's kind of like the NAPT program. We use the last one from the previous year and the first two from the current year for certification next year. So each sample is worth 8 points. So there's a total of 15 soils of 120 maximum points. So to get a score of 80%, they have to earn 96 total points. So manure testing certification is a little bit different. We don't have the suite of 5 tests. We only have 2 that we're interested in, total phosphorus and total nitrogen. And they can use either nitrogen by combustion or total kettle nitrogen. And we have made this just a little bit more complicated than the ELP method, because we've kept the precision away, so we do the triple replicates the same way. But a few years ago, Bob introduced a new system of doing the accuracy flags, where he first removes the 4.0 outliers and then takes 2.9 MAD units from the median. And that's a little different from doing all the results and taking 2.5 MAD units. But doing the 2.9 on the outlier removed data set, he gets a nice 95% confidence interval. And so we started doing that too for certification. So as I said, we evaluate precision the same way, and they would lose 3 points if they do get a precision flag. But the accuracy flag does get more complicated. So as I said, it's a two-step process. We calculate the overall median and MAD, and we flag the labs that are more than 2.5 MAD units. So this is just like what we've been doing with all the other proficiency programs. But then this additional step is to remove the results that are more than 4.0 outliers. And I think for the most part, a lot of those are these types of clerical errors. But there was a lab on the first exchange this year and the manure program where they had a bunch of them that were way, like probably 10 MAD units above. And they actually had an equipment problem. So we're glad we could catch that. So using the reduced data set, we calculate the new median and MAD and flag them at the 2.9. And they don't really get a flag that costs them any points unless they're flagged by both methods. And in all honesty, it's probably about, if they're flagged for one, there's probably about a 90% chance they're going to be flagged for the other. But there are a few cases where they get flagged for one but not the other. And in that case, they don't get a flag for accuracy, so they wouldn't deduct any points. So then, like the ELP program, 5 points are deducted for no accuracy flag and 3 points for no precision flag. But we only have 6 samples sent out during the year, so there's only a possible 48 total points. But there is one more really big difference between the soil testing and the manure testing certification. As Bob and Nathan mentioned, or Manjula mentions it's pretty easy for a lab to score 80% on a test in a soil proficiency program. It's a lot more difficult, wouldn't you agree, Manjula, to score 80% in the manure program. So what I do is I rank the labs from the highest scoring lab to the lowest scoring lab, and then the top 80% of the labs end up passing that test. So I hope that makes sense. But you can see there's still quite a high failure rate, 20% failing compared to the soils program where it's 80 or 85 or 90%. So if a lab fails, they can order a rerun set, and usually one rerun set's enough to do it. On the rerun set, we take, for whatever test it is, the exchange where they had the poorest results and replace it with their rerun results. And if they don't pass it on that time, we send out a second one. They have to pay a fee for it. It's $250 for the first set and $150 for the second set. So I guess the take-home message is know the difference between a proficiency program and a certification program, especially if you're a researcher. I'd encourage you to always use a certified laboratory, and if you're using a Minnesota certified laboratory, look on our website and make sure that they're certified for the test that you want them to run. And just in summary, we do certify labs for both soil and manure testing. It's really easy to find us on the web. If you just Google us, probably soil labs or manure labs, you'll probably find us pretty quickly. And for soil testing, we use the ALP or NAPT program and the MAP program for manure testing. So if there are any questions, I'd be glad to entertain them. Otherwise, I think we're free to go. Yes, Emily.
Okay, so on the NAPT, the multi-quarter, it's the same soil, it's four different quarters. And so one of the five samples in the NAPT sample is the same from each of the four quarters. And so they use that for the PAP program. And when you only use three of those four quarters, then you're missing out on one as potential.
Yeah, Pamela mentioned that of the 20 soils that they send out in the NAPT program, one of them is repeated for each round, and theirs runs on an annual basis, and unfortunately I don't get the results in time for the fourth quarter because I have to, and I'm going to be really struggling this November because I took some time off, but we have to get our little labs know by November 30th if they are eligible to be certified. They have to have a 30-day notice, and we run on the calendar year. So that's why I can't use the last exchange for either NAPT or ALP. And so I haven't used the sample that NAPT repeats as a precision measurement. I guess I'm not sure if one precision measurement would really show that much, and it would just be three. Yes, Bob.
When I was running the program, my experience was that if you sent that repeated sample to that laboratory four times through the year, their numbers started to line the second, the third, and the fourth time. In other words, they could tell that sample, and it was a higher probability to reproduce the same results.
Yeah, and as Bob mentioned, there's a higher chance of the labs identifying it. And that's why I wish I would actually like to give more points for precision than for accuracy, but I don't know how to do it because it's so easy for the labs to identify.
You can do that in your manure.
Well, I do the different bottles, but it's so easy to identify the bottle and match it up because I always send out, because we only have two exchanges, I have three bottles that are liquid, one exchange, and six bottles that are solid. And then the next one I have six that are liquid and three that are solid. So, it's pretty, and a lot of times it's not very hard to tell. Just by looking at them or smelling them, sometimes you can tell. You have more clues with manure than you do with soil. Any other questions? Well, I think we're done, and we're actually ahead of time, so I must have raced through mine. I didn't mean to go so quickly. I hope I didn't leave anything out. But thanks for coming. I appreciate it.